It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for The Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Tonight, let's talk about giving. Let's face it, any corporation or business that's having success likely passes it on through foundations or charitable donations. A lot of times, giving to charities or causes are part of the business plan. And also, because it's tax day, a way for businesses to give their money to someone else besides Uncle Sam. But that might be changing with the new tax plan out of D.C. But for many corporations, their foundations and their charitable giving has nothing to do with the bottom line. Many big companies in the Chicago area spend a lot of time and money helping out civic organizations and arts non-for-profits. But times are changing, and more areas of need that used to be funded by taxpayers and the government are not anymore. So enter the private sector. Take a corporation like Exelon. Exelon is the parent company of ComEd and other energy providers. It takes in revenues of over $30 billion, one of the biggest utility companies in the whole country. They, of course, have the Exelon Foundation. It's an independent foundation that is funded by Exelon shareholders. They fund initiatives in what they say are key areas like education, arts, and community development. They also have leaders serving on 600 non-for-profit boards. In studio tonight to talk about the evolving world of foundations and charitable giving is Stephen Solomon. He's the president of the Exelon Foundation, also the vice president of corporate relations at Exelon. Steve, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
So, as I say about the evolving world of foundations and charitable giving, why do companies do this? Why do companies, especially at the level that Exelon is at, give back?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the main reasons people give back and corporations and foundations give back is it really is a way to help the community out. I would say 20 years ago, people who gave, corporations who gave, it was usually a friend called and can we help out this charity or can we help out this organization? And about 15 years ago, that really started to change. Companies and foundations really wanted to know that they were investing in the community.
Interesting.
They were making an impact in the community with their giving
Why
dollars.
Why 15 years ago? What was it about?
I think it was a slow transition to this. I know at Exelon, about 12 years ago, we took a step back and said, why are we doing this? What are we doing in the community? How can we benefit the community? And that time, the graduation rates at Chicago Public Schools was about 52%. And we took that step back and said, what can we do to help out? And I think when we give, and I think good corporate givers or good foundation givers, look at ways to collaborate. What's the need in the community? Mm-hmm. How can our dollars make an impact in that community? And how can we really help?
The cynic in me always goes straight, like I just kind of joked about today being tax day, this idea that most corporations are giving money because then they can write it off on their taxes. Is that not the case? I mean, are we to believe that companies like Exelon and foundations, not just yours, but all the companies around Chicago, are doing it because they believe in the communities they serve?
We do. We clearly believe that a healthy community makes for a healthy business. I was talking a little bit about 15 years ago when we looked at the education and the graduation rates. We met with United Way of Metro Chicago. We said, met with CPS and said, where are the neighborhoods where the dropout rates are the highest, where attendance rates are low, and what can we do with our contribution as well as with our employees? So we created a stay in school initiative. That initiative has helped 27,000 students, and 95% of those students have actually graduated high school. And if you look at the rates of somebody who graduates high school and what they can make, and you also look at the salaries of people who graduate college and what they can make, there's a huge difference.
Right.
And we really believe that education is really the greatest equalizer, and getting those kids to get out of high school, graduate from high school, and hopefully go into college is really crucial and key to that.
I always think about it because you're also big in STEM, mm-hmm. and that's a big part. We'll talk about that, the energizing student potential. But a lot of that has to do is a little bit more obvious to me, where
Correct.
You're talking about wind turbines, or talking about clean alternative energy, whatever it might be that might help Exelon in the future. You're investing in kids because maybe they'll turn in engineers for you in the future.
Correct, and come and work for us.
Yeah, and I wonder just a question about when you're approaching what you want to fund, from a foundation. Are you thinking business bottom line? Or are you thinking the fact that, hey, I'm going to give back to the community, but a specific community because we want to see these people turn into future Exelon
employees? Right. The Energizing Student Potential is another example of looking what the need is in the community. There's a lot of research that's been done that says kids who are interested in STEM get interested in that fifth through eighth grade. And so what we did is we sat down with CPS and other education communities and organizations and said, what can we do to help? Right. And so the Energizing Student Potential not only provides about 30 days worth of curriculum for the teachers to use, we also provide the teachers with 3 days of professional development, giving them the tools and giving the experience to understand how to use the curriculum in the classroom. They also get in classroom hands-on experiments. I mean, kids learn better when they're doing things. Mm-hmm. And so those experiments help them teach those lessons. And in addition to that, tying back to that business objective, each of those schools get a half-day energy audit. And it's a great opportunity. We send somebody in. They take the kids. These kids go through the building. They go to the boiler room, places that they are not allowed to go to. Some schools, they're allowed to go on the roof. But they understand how a building's built and how what makes a building energy efficient or leaking energy and causing to lose money for the schools and pay higher energy bills. But I think it's that, you know, it's that ties right back to our bottom line, because what we're seeing is those kids are getting interested in STEM. One of my favorite stories is we went to a school on the south side of Chicago, and the teacher said, you know, we asked how the program's going, and she shared with us, and she said, I will tell you, I have a student in my classroom who's always been very quiet, doesn't really participate much, but once we got into the STEM curriculum, boy, he was a completely different kid. He actually ran the energy fair at that school. And she said, if you would have told me in the beginning of the semester that this kid was going to have a leadership role in a program like this,
right.
She goes, I wouldn't have believed it.
Well, let me ask you.
It's that experience that
I'm fascinated, too, because Exelon is a huge energy company. Mm-hmm. Energy is big business, but it's also political. We've seen this play out. I mean, how do you protect from needy schools that are like, hey, we need the money. We don't have any way to teach STEM. Thank you very much. How does society protect from? I mean, I'm not disrespecting Exelon, but saying that you have an agenda to come into the school and say, yes, we'll give you a ton of money, but here's the chapters we would like you to teach, and it's all about how you should turn your heat up, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. You know?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that the energy audit, for example, teaches them is how to save energy in the school and how to save that school money. And that's really helpful. We had a story where each of the schools that we work with have to do some type of a community project tied back to what they learned as part of the Energizing Student Potential. And we had one group of kids at a school who came up with a $95,000 savings. And they presented it to the school board, and they said, you know, this is a great opportunity if you take these steps and change the light bulbs out and change the HVAC system in the building, we can save $95,000. And that's equivalent into a teacher's job, right?
They're taking
money
out of your
pocket. These kids, you know, really get involved. And I think that's what's great about this program is these kids really get involved. We had an energy fair at a school near Rockford last week, for example. And these 7th and 8th graders knew everything there was to know about solar energy, knew what wind power was and how it generates electricity. They knew about nuclear power as well, and they knew how to save energy in their home, in the school. And that's what we're really trying to do, is create that awareness
we're talking
with these students.
Stephen Solomon is the president of the Exelon Foundation, also the vice president of corporate relations at Exelon. We're talking about charitable contributions and giving as part of the Download in Chicago business. We'll continue the conversation right after this break, so stay with us.
It's business time. It's business time. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business.
Welcome back to the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio tonight, Stephen Solomon. He's the president of the Exelon Foundation, also the vice president of corporate relations for Exelon. You know, in the conversation we're having tonight about charitable giving and why so many different corporations give back to the community, it's beyond just the fact that it's a tax write-off and it may not be anymore. I guess I asked the question, too, because as politics change and you see an overhaul of our tax system, and there's been an emphasis saying that a lot of those write-offs are not going to be there, do you expect to see different corporations and small businesses get out of the giving game because they can't write it off?
I think that if you're a company that's doing the giving because it's the right thing to do, you'll continue giving. I think it's really important that the work that these contribution dollars can make and the impact that they can make in the community is really crucial to the community being successful. Mm-hmm. And so I would hope that those companies wouldn't back away from it because they're not getting the benefit right. from the tax write-off.
I've had a lot of people on. We've talked about this, the notion of municipalities and budget items that used to be, you know, the go-to taxpayer budget items, whether it be roads, fixing roads, or crime prevention, what have you. And the mayor was at the Malcolm X College not too long ago saying, you know, these issues, these societal ills that we used to count on the government to fund, they can't be funded anymore. We're stretched thin. So he said he's relying on the private sector to come up with things. They came up with the summer job program. Mm-hmm. He wants different corporations to get involved in violence prevention, other things that might be needed in this town. What do you think about that? Do you have to start thinking from the Exelon Foundation that you're needed and that you have to stretch the parameters of what you fund, what you give to beyond the things that you've done over the past 15 mm-hmm. years?
You know, I think the bottom line whenever we make a grant is what is the impact in the community, right? And so we get a lot of requests from the political side, from other companies, mm-hmm. from other foundations, et cetera. But I think one of the things that we always check to see is what's the impact this grant is going to make in the community that we serve. ComEd, our subsidiary here in Illinois, serves over 400 municipalities, right? It's difficult for us to make grants to each and every one of those 400 municipalities. So what we've done is we've created a Green Regions program. And ComEd actually solicits ideas for environmental open spaces. Are there projects the municipality is trying to complete but don't have the funds necessary to do that work? So they apply for grants, and we award, it's up to $10,000 per municipality. And so we've been able to...
Are you seeing more municipalities
that? Yeah. We see a lot of... The first year we ran the program, which was about 5 years ago, you know, I want to say we had maybe 40, 45 people apply, and now we're seeing upwards of 100, 120. And so it's our way of, you know, we don't have enough money to fund everything,
right.
but it's been our way to work closer with the municipalities on the projects that they want to get done for their consumers and for their communities. In our space, the open space project, for example, it's great from an environmental standpoint.
How do you safeguard, and this is something that has been written about in the last couple months about corporate giving versus corporate lobbying. And mm-hmm. Exelon is a company that, of course, has a lobbying wing that's in D.C. trying to change energy policies for the better for their company, your company. But how do you safeguard that you're not giving municipalities money for a kickback or to get better rates for ComEd or Exelon? How does the foundation make sure that that doesn't happen, that there isn't an ulterior motive when it comes mm-hmm. to giving?
So one of the things that we do is we have a pretty detailed approval process for grant making. So, for example, any grant that's over $50,000 has to be reviewed and approved by a committee of executives who are basically the leaders of the various operating units at the company, at Exelon. That's one way to do it. We also do the fact-checking to make sure that these grants are good grants with good organizations. We have an online grant application process that asks a lot of questions. So we hope to weed out any of those kinds of instances.
As we think about the future of charitable giving, and you see even talking about what we just talked about with the mayor and also with the tax code coming out of D.C., do you see it looking different? Do you see that as if I start a small business tomorrow and I want it to be a wing, does it look different than it looked at 15, 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah, I think as we said earlier, I think people are really looking to make sure that those contributions are truly an investment in the community. And our grant application actually looks at how many people does this grant serve? What's the demographics of that community that we're serving? What are the expectations and the outcomes of those grant dollars?
Do you find yourself as a foundation having to remove grants, not remove grants, but to say, you know what, the outcome that, mm-hmm. that you set out to do, the it's underperforming, we're not going to give you this grant anymore, we're going to pull our funding and put it somewhere
part
else.
Part of that application process is to set clear expectations of what that impact is or those outcomes in the community, and then we get a six-month report, and then we get an annual report. So it's really our way to see how things are going. I think sometimes if you're funding innovative or new things, it doesn't always work out the way you hope it will. Right. But then you have that frank conversation with the nonprofit partner to say, hey, this didn't go quite the way we had hoped. What are your plans to make it different in the future? And honestly, we find those are usually the best collaborative discussions to have. But we ask our grantees to report back on how it's doing. If you said you were going to reach 5,000 students with a STEM program, and here are the expectations out of that program. Did you meet those expectations?
My last question really is as we sit here in Chicago in the Tribune Tower, and you think about Exelon, and of course ComEd, as you mentioned, serving the state of Illinois, how important is it to be doing business in Chicago, in the state of Illinois, as a foundation to give back to things that are particularly specific for this region, mm-hmm. for Chicago, for the surrounding area?
Sure. It is part of our DNA at the company, and it has been since we were created back in the late 1890s. When you look back at nonprofits that started 100 years ago, they're usually people from Commonwealth Edison at the time we were called on those boards. Giving back to the community is just it's who we are as a company. Last year, we had over 210,000 hours of volunteer time wow. tracked by our employees. We have 34,000 employees. That's yeah. a huge number. our employees actually gave back over $11.8 million through our employee giving campaign and through our matching gifts program. And so, what I think differentiates us from others is we not only provide dollars from the foundation and the operating units, but our employees are there side by side with us from the beginning. And I think that's what makes Exelon and ComEd great places to work and really great community partners.
Stephen Solomon is the president of the Exelon Foundation and also the vice president of corporate relations at Exelon. We're talking about charitable giving and, of course, the foundation. Stephen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.